I entitled today's message, Beginning Again, Immediately. Beginning Again, Immediately. On Numbers 29, verse 35, it says, on the eighth day, in Hebrew, Beyom Shemini Atzeret. Beyom Shemini Atzeret. Okay, which is the name of the eighth day, of the festival of the eighth day. Beyom Shemini Atzeret, on the eighth day, there shall be for you an assembly, a holy assembly, and you are to do no regular work. The eighth day that it's referring to here is the eighth day of the fest of since the beginning of the Feast of Sukkot. So it's called the eighth day, the Feast of the Eighth Day. That's what the Bible calls it. Okay, Shemini Atzeret. Shemini means eight, and Atzeret means assembly. Not just any assembly, but an assembly, holy assembly, holy convocation, what the King James Version would say. Kehilat Kol Simcha, as I shared earlier, but not everyone was here, started on Sukkot 6 of 5783 in Northwood Pines. Right here, right down 34th Street on the left is a subdivision called Northwood Pine. But according to the Jewish calendar, therefore, since today is Sukkot 6, today is the sixth day of Sukkot and the 20th day of Tishri, today is, in the Jewish calendar, our 30th anniversary. Now, our Gregorian calendar anniversary, we started on October 17th. So it's Monday in the Gregorian calendar, and it's today in the Hebrew calendar. They're only 3 days apart after 30 years. And they just get together and separate by a day or so and get together and separate by a day or so. And they do that all along for all the years. Because the Hebrew calendar is not just lunar, it's lunar solar. It's lunar solar because if it was lunar only, and there's only 354 days, then you would gain, and then when spring is supposed to be, the month wouldn't say spring. The Lord knows what he's doing. And he said, you are to wait until there is the crop. And the crop that he's talking about in Exodus chapter 12 is the barley harvest, which is the first harvest that comes in Israel. So when, at the time of the Aviv, the word Aviv, you've heard of Tel Aviv. Aviv means spring. So in the time of the spring, when the barley harvest is ripe, you are, on the first new moon of the spring, you are to begin the year. This will be the first of months for you, and this will be the first of years for you. It's Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. So the Jewish calendar, therefore, begins with the first month. The first month is called the month of the Aviv. That's not the name of the month. Although it's used, Aviv 1, etc. Actually, the first month doesn't have a name. And the second doesn't have a name. And the third one doesn't have a name. And the fourth one doesn't have a name. Okay, so most, in God's economy, there were no names given to the months. Only the first month, which is called the month of the Aviv, and the seventh month, okay, actually have names. Okay, so because you have to wait till the spring, that means that in a strictly lunar calendar, which is 354 versus 365, there's 11 days difference. So the first year you'll be 11 days short. And then you add another 11 on the second year. Now you're 22. So the rabbis came up with a mathematical formula before there were computers or any of those things, before the people knew how to do fractions very well and carry things to decimal points, that three times in 19 years, they'll add in a month. And the way that works out, 3 times in 19 years, that means that 3 times 6 is 18, right? So there's 1, 2 years in a row that it'll happen. They reconcile so well that for the last 1800 years, even today, they almost match. They're just off a little bit, okay, from each other. Is the solar calendar the correct one? Is the lunar calendar the correct one? They're both correct. The Lord, in the first reading in the book of Genesis, created two great lights, one to rule the day and one to rule the night. And he said these lights, which we're going to read Monday, and Tiferet is going to read it. If you don't know who that is, well, it starts with a T, so that matches her American name, T. I won't tell you what the rest of it, but we know her as just T, TJ. Okay, so she's going to read Genesis 1, the first day of creation, when light was created. He created two lights, the sun and the moon, and it says that they were given for Moadim. That's in the second day. They were given for Moadim. They were given for the rehearsals. They were given for the festivals of Adonai. So the Adonai's festivals are tied to the moon, but they're not independent of the sun. Okay, they're not independent of the sun because we were told that we cannot take the new moon and declare the beginning of the year on the first new moon of the spring until spring happens. You can't do it before until spring. So you look to see, is the crop there, okay, in the spring? And you know it's spring because it's not cold anymore, right? It's beginning to warm up and things grow up, etc. And when you see literally the barley harvest springing up on the mountains around Jerusalem, when you see that, and it's time for spring, and you see the harvest there, on that new moon, you declare it. Now, the Gregorian calendar comes from Pope Gregory. He was called Pope Gregory the Great. Well, there were lots of great people called the Great that weren't so great after all. And you can make that decision yourself. But in the Gregorian calendar, okay, that is really a reckoning of the Catholic Church, which is loosely based on the sun. Loosely, okay? It doesn't take the moon into consideration. So in order to pass Constantine the Great, that's another one. How can you call this guy the Great? Let me tell you about him. He was not a whole lot of different than Herod the Great. And he wasn't all that much different than Ahasuerus the Great. They all have the following in common. They killed their own family. What do you mean? They killed their wife and their own children so that they wouldn't take the throne from them. Really nice guy. Would you like to have this guy marry your daughter? So when history refers to Constantine the Great, after I became an adult and understood all that this guy Constantine did, I shudder. Now, benignly, the Catholic schools teach that Constantine did some great things because he united, you know, he saw a vision, and in the vision he saw the cross, and he took the cross and put it as an emblem for his army and united his political power with the church. That happened in 325 AD. And from that point on, the empire was called the Holy Roman Catholic Empire. That's how history refers to it. The problem is, I'm not sure how holy it was. I'm not sure how universal it was, because the word Catholic means universal. And I'm not sure how godly it was. Just saying, as I read the writings of this, it's very hard for me to impute on someone who murdered his own family, whether it's Herod, whether Ahasuerus or Ahasuerus in Hebrew, or whether it's Constantine or anybody else. If you, like, murder your own family, I think that that's not good. And so it's very difficult for me. I'm not sure that we have people like that. They don't usually murder their families, at least not the wife. They just murder the kids. Since the 60s, people have been murdering their kids. And in our country, there's a persistence about that. Like, you pick up the thing this yesterday, and it said that the state of New York is investing $125 million on abortion clinics. Okay, it's like on your face. If abortion had been the way that it was until very recently, and it's still totally not stopped, if that had been that way for a 14-year-old girl who got herself pregnant and has no idea who the person was. Her name is Mary. And Mary was with child at 14 years old. She's turning 15 and does turn 15. And out of her womb, she decided not to. There were no available abortion clinics anyway. It wasn't fashionable to do that. And by the way, Planned Parenthood makes buku amounts of money selling body parts of babies. In other words, the babies that are aborted are actually cannibalized, cut into pieces, and their organs and everything else is sold. You would be surprised how many medicines come from aborted children, including the vaccines, which was one of the main reasons why, regardless of whether they're good for you or not, they come from aborted babies. They want to tell you no. Personal care products, health products, and things that supposedly make your skin better and all those things. You need to be careful. You need to be careful. You'll be putting the material from aborted babies. In terms of African Americans, and there's usually two here, but it's only Rebecca's here. It's hideous because from the beginning, a plan was to get the black population to have less babies, for this Hispanic population to have less babies. Because historically, the blacks and the Hispanics had big families. And part of the deal, now, whites, you know, they have been buying the agenda for a long time. Let me just say, okay, white, we haven't done really well in that area. And so getting the blacks and the Hispanics to have less babies and decrease the size of the family from 5, 6, and 7 to less than 2 on the average would render the black population, would render it eventually as small as the Jewish population. You hear what I'm saying, because I'm telling you the truth. The same is true of Hispanic populations. Targeted. Abortion targets Hispanics and blacks. And you find that for a long time, Hispanics and blacks were some of the most adamant pro-abortion people. Whether they were with the Lord or not, but their eyes are open. Their eyes are open. If Israel did that, and they are, because they're like the second largest provider of abortions in the entire world, per capita. I mean, you don't match China. You know, China has so many people, and so does Russia. But per capita, one of the highest. If the Arab population does not do this, and they don't, because it's not part of, those are our cousins. The Arab population are our cousins. They also trace their heritage to our father Abraham. And in the economy of our father Abraham, having one was not the right thing. Now, there were sometimes that was all they had. Rebecca only had one. Okay? And then the next one only had two. And they fought. You know, that's it. But when it came time for Jacob, it came time for Israel, it came time for the children of Israel, how many did he have? 12 plus a girl. Okay, 13, because the girls count. So let me just say to you that in God's economy, having one guy, one child, two, that was not the idea. Now, the majority of us here are old. We're past that time. So relax. The majority of you have already stopped having babies. For some of you, many, 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 many years ago. But let me just tell you that's not the case. That's not the case for some of the children of people here. Some of the children of people here heard the word of the Lord. And Joe and Stephanie have three children. And I think the one that has the least is like five. I don't even know. I don't know where they are. So they could corroborate that. Well, 5 times 3 is 15. That's 15 grandchildren. But it's more than that because Tom Crowley has 7. And I think Mary Grace also just had her 7th. Well, that's just 14 of those two, plus 5 more. That's 19. Okay? We gave that part of our life to the Lord. Marilyn got pregnant, but then she had a miscarriage, which was the 4th miscarriage, 4 or 5. I didn't feel them, so she knows exactly what she felt. And since then, we haven't had any children. Nor did we stop or artificially or any of those things. Do you know that birth control pills really are not birth control? They are murdering devices. All the new pill that they have for inducing abortion is just an extension of what was already happening. I know that many of you took birth control pills. And I also know that many of you were sick as a dog taking them. Oh, it gets a little serious, doesn't it? The Hebrew word shemini means 8th, and the Hebrew word atzeret means public assembly. So the 8th day of Sukkot, which is called Shemini Atzeret, because that's what the Bible said, means that we are to have a public convocation or assembly. And this year is on October 17, 2022, exactly on our 30th anniversary. Exactly on our 30th anniversary. Shemini Atzeret is also referred to as Sukkot 8, especially in the diaspora. The diaspora is a Jewish world that's outside of Israel. But realizing that today is our Hebrew birthday and Monday is our American birthday, and we got today, tomorrow, and Monday to celebrate the birthday. And I think that's awesome that we can get to celebrate it for more than one day. According to the Torah's commandment, there's only one day, the 8th day from the beginning of Sukkot. But since in the diaspora, outside of Israel, for many, many years, they had no way to check with what's the moon like in Jerusalem or any of those things, then in order to ensure that they didn't miss the festival, they added another day. So they doubled the days. So the first day of unleavened bread is doubled. The last day of unleavened bread is doubled. Shavuot is doubled. Yom Teruah is doubled. Sukkot is doubled. The first day and the last day. Okay? And they don't need to do that anymore because now supposedly we have NASA, although I'm not sure about NASA. But anyway, we got lots of information. And we actually can have cameras that tell us what the moon is like in Jerusalem. And those are visible all the time. You can have a camera that shows you the Wailing Wall on a continual basis and things like that. So in Israel, however, there's only one day because Israel is Israel and doesn't need to be worried about what's the new moon in Jerusalem because that's Israel. And what a day it is. In addition to the festival ceremonies, there's the following things happen in Israel on Monday, which is Shemini Atzeret. There is a prayer for rain called Geshem, the prayer for rain, because the rains come after Sukkot. The rain in Israel comes after Sukkot and before the winter. If those rains don't come, you're not going to have a crop in the spring. There's also Yizkor, which comes from the word, the Hebrew word is a future tense of the word Zachor, which is a verb, which means to remember. So Yizkor literally means I will remember. And there's this Yizkor prayer that takes place where Jewish people entreat Adonai to remember the souls of our relatives and friends that have passed on. For us in Kol Simcha, we remember our beloved Cliff Clifton at this time. His memorial was on Shemini Atzeret last year. It was a Thursday. And the celebration that the diaspora Jews know as Simchat Torah, with the delirious singing and dancing that are part of the seven circuits, which in Hebrew means hakafot, the circling around the synagogue with the Torah scrolls. But in Israel, it's one day, only one day. All the observances are compressed into one day, not 2 days, like in the United States, which is in the diaspora. We follow the Israeli reckoning. We follow what Israel does, okay? Because we have knowledge. We don't have to pretend we don't know when the full moon is, or when the new moon is over the Israel, because we can actually see it. There are cameras. We can even see it ourselves. And because these days are compressed into that, then in Israel is Shemini Atzeret / Simchat Torah. And that's what it is for us. Shemini Atzeret / Simchat Torah, all one day. So what a day Monday is going to be. It's a larger day. As we come into Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, which is the same day, we have come to the conclusion of the festival cycle in Leviticus 23. And it seems like as to reinforce the beginning of our new year cycle of festivals, Simchat Torah also concludes the reading of the Torah. At Simchat Torah, okay, we read the last part of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34, Deuteronomy 33 and 34, and then we roll the scroll and start reading on the first day, on the first book, Bereshit. So that we never stop reading the Torah. When we get to the end, we go right to the beginning. Look at that picture. I don't know if he can make it bigger or not. Actually, if you have, yeah, he's working on it. They took a scroll and opened it all the way with people holding the scroll. See it? And then the reader, okay, reads, the girl right there is reading Deuteronomy 34, the last thing in the Bible. And then, as if, there, you see there's a space between there. And so, like, there is not going to be any space because the next reader is going to take the yad from her hand. He's going to read right at the beginning of the scroll. Now, we have scrolls we can do that with. I get very nervous taking a 300-year-old scroll and doing that with. And even our 100-year-old scroll, I get nervous doing that. But we have two. One happens to be on Deuteronomy 32. 31 and 32. That's the last time that it was read. And the other one is still in Genesis. So, lo and behold, our congregation doesn't have to re-roll anything. We have two scrolls, so we can read Deuteronomy 34. And we have another scroll, and we can read Genesis 1. So, in fact, I've asked someone to read. Normally, it's ladies, like there, because, as it turns out, ladies kind of really take on the yoke of learning Torah and things like that and learning a language and so on much better than the guys. It's not to say ladies don't work, because that's not true anymore. There are a few ladies that don't work. But the majority, in Israel, the ladies are expected to work. And in fact, until the ladies work, there is no tax break. In other words, if the woman doesn't work, they get taxed over 50%, over 50%. You hear what I'm saying? But once the lady goes to work in the house, then there are adjustments made and the actual tax rate is lower. So in Israel, they essentially, with the tax way they do it and everything they do it, they force people to, husband and wife, work. So guess what they have to do? And it sounds like it's just really nice of them. They have daycare and they have schools and everything else. I just get a little bit antsy of the government having our kids. And I'm all about today's headline that if the Republicans win the House, the first thing they're going to do is pass a parental right bill, which we have in Florida, because DeSantis has, that's what he's done. That's what he has done. So he has done good for our state. So notice that this really represents, it shows the circular nature of the Torah. The Torah, when it ends, it begins again. That's where the name. We begin again immediately. When we get to the end, we begin again immediately. So, studying Adonai's Torah never ends. It never ends. It never stops. It just gets to the end, and we start over on the same day. Taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture, Leviticus 23, it's almost as if Shemini Atzeret concludes not only Sukkot and not only the fall holidays, but it concludes the entire cycle of holidays. They all finish, but then they don't stop. They start again. Remember that Leviticus 23 is not read in portions. When it's time to read Leviticus 23, you read the whole chapter. You don't read anything. So Shemini Atzeret, which the Bible designates only as the eighth day, that's where we get the word Shemini Atzeret, okay, at the end of Sukkot. But notice that our calendar is built on a seven-day cycle. So the eighth day would itself signal a new beginning. And guess what? Simchat Torah immediately picks up on this new beginning theme by renewing the readings. Additionally, Simchat Torah, in a sense, serves as still another conclusion. This time is a conclusion to Shavuot. In Shavuot, we were given the Torah. It celebrates the being receiving the Torah, but in Simchat Torah, we celebrate that it not only was given to us, but we celebrate that we studied it and read it. that we read it and we study it. So it is that way for our congregation. It is that way for our congregation. We will also, as a add-on, so to speak, to the holiday service. So the holiday service has its components that go with the holiday. But after the message, we do a portion called the Simchat Torah portion. And in that portion, we read Deuteronomy 34 and read Genesis 1. Because the Torah are already set up, we don't have to re-roll or any of that. When we re-roll in such thing, then it takes an extra 30 minutes. And then we involve people in looking at those things. But if we're not re-rolling because they're already that way, there's no need to re-roll them. They're already in the right place. Because that's okay. It was that way for Cliffs last year. The same thing. For that time. Then we can do it all as one service. So Monday, the plan is to do the holiday service. And then after John finishes preaching, if it's within a certain parameter of time, then we'll do that part. It's not to get it over with. It's just because it makes sense. Okay? And then we can just go and have our dinner in celebration. And after that, you can go home. Well, if we don't make it and it gets too late, then we'll go eat first. Have our celebration and then come back. And now the day will be a little bit longer. But as John said, he didn't really like to short circuit Adonai anything. So it's okay. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we approached and observed the Shemitah as an opportunity for a new start, a new fresh start in freedom in Adonai and with those around us. Now we can use our anniversary celebration and Simchat Torah, which happened on the same day, to remind ourselves of our intentions and our initiatives, as well as to start afresh. We are celebrating starting afresh. That's what happened in Yom Teruah. It was the conclusion of the Shemitah year. And at Yom Kippur, the shofar was a blast announcing the release. That was only a few days ago, 10 days ago. So we are in that time. If you think about it, this is another opportunity for a new beginning. Why do you suppose 8 means new beginning? Because that's what happened in the book of Genesis. Because that's in the Bible all over the place. So the number 8, if you look up the number 8 in Bible, it means new beginning. The only 8-day feast is Shemini Atzeret. So Shemini Atzeret marks a new beginning. At the conclusion of Sukkot is a new beginning. For our congregation, 30 years now, I get direction from Adonai during Sukkot. I get direction from the Lord about next year. And so it's still not done. So he could still be talking until Monday at sundown. But then after that's done, by the time we get to the beach and so on, I have some ideas what the Lord has said. And I'll begin to share that with the leadership and eventually with the entire congregation. Since this is a fresh start, we should take heart in what the readings are for Monday. This is already prescribed. It happens to be an anniversary. The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 34. Let's go to the last three verses, 10, 11, and 12. In chapter 34, verse 10, that parasha reminds us that Adonai knew Moses, panim al panim, face to face. Okay? In other words, there was an intimate, close relationship between Adonai and Moses, which is talked about. The scripture says that there was no one like him before or after, and so on. Moses had come to know the character and person of the God of the universe. He knew him to be a personal God that was full of compassion, overflowing love, superabundant kindness, and unrelenting forgiveness. That's from the attributes in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. I would say that for our congregation, this Simchat Torah, which is also our anniversary, it's a new beginning for us. And we have the opportunity to get to know Adonai much more intimately and to model those supernatural things that he has as a congregation for the world. Let me just say that this is part of our calling. This is part of our calling. Okay? The parashat that we read reminds us that the Lord knew Moses. It was just not that Moses knew Adonai, but Adonai knew Moses. That means that Moses opened himself up to let Adonai know him intimately. It's not like he's not going to, right? He's God. He knows everything. But when you welcome him to come inside, in your inside, and you hand the Holy Spirit the keys and say, there's nothing hidden from you. You can go to any part of my life. You can go to any closet. And the Holy Spirit is a spring person, spring cleaning. So he comes in, and now that he has a key, he'll go into some part of your heart and start having conversations with you. Hey, I found some dirt here. Hey, I found something not so great here. Don't you want to get rid of that? When he starts talking with you like that, what are you going to say? Well, I know what I say. Yes, sir. I'd like to get rid of it. So then he starts bringing more, and it starts to get painful. Because sometimes his ideas are not my ideas. Like all the time. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. So the ways of Adonai, which the Holy Spirit has inside, he's also a gentleman. He's not going to force that. So you let the Lord Yeshua in, and you let the Holy Spirit in, and you can go ahead and keep your closets. You can go ahead and keep your I'm mad at this person attitude. You can go ahead and keep the, oh, my parents did me wrong. You can go ahead and keep all of that. You might think that the rest of us are exempt. Then it's only you. You had it really rough. And you had it tough, and the rest of us haven't. And I'm here to tell you that that is not the case. That there is absolutely not the case. And that the majority of the people in this congregation have paid some dues. And the majority of the people in this congregation have a past. And have some bad stuff in their past. If you allow the Holy Spirit, this can be a year of a new beginning for you, but it's up to you. You can just go ahead and hang on to the same old rubbish. Let me just be properly British. Rubbish. You can just go ahead and hang on to your rubbish. I like to call it garbage. And actually, garbage from the kitchen is not real nice. It's very smelly. Because it's wet and got pieces of skin or what have you. Oh, if you're holding a grudge against one of your relatives, or one of your brothers and sisters, or one of your neighbors, whomever it was, and maybe they deserve it. What you don't understand is that you got some flesh from that person in your closet. And it is rotten and stinky. And the Holy Spirit, in his infinite wisdom and love for you, starts knocking on your door. David said that last week, I stepped all over his toes. You said that, David? And he said, you've gone into some areas. I said, it wasn't me, it was the Holy Spirit. I guess David is the only one around here. I guess that, you know, David is the only one that actually acknowledges that the Holy Spirit has something to say to each one of us last week. And he hasn't stopped talking. He wants to clean your house. He wants to clean your temple so that you can offer in your temple to the Most High God frankincense and myrrh and instead of, pardon me, Puerto Ricans grew up with pork. There is nothing more stinky than rotten pork. It's the worst, as far as I'm concerned. Worse than chicken, worse than liver, worse than whatever. Dry pork. Let it rot. Well, let me just tell you that all these things that you're holding on is nothing more than you decide that your cross is actually more significant than Yeshua's. Then you're saying, oh no, you forgave the whole world, but I can't forgive so-and-so. I can't. Baloney. Bologna. Doesn't even deserve. And it stinks too because it's made out of pork and you just let it rot and see what it's like. In this congregation, it's not going to get any easier. Because we're asking the Holy Spirit, as far as I'm concerned, I handed him the keys to the congregation some time ago. So he can go ahead and preach and clean and do whatever he needs to do. You go ahead and hang on and continue to be your old same miserable self. Or, I'm not talking to me. I'm talking about me or John. Or I'm talking about the Lord and you. And so that day that I stepped on your toes, I asked the question, what are you doing here? What is it that you came for? Did you come on Yom Kippur just to, you know, I said, to check the box, to fulfill? Well, guess what? Are you coming to Shabbat and you're coming on Monday to Shemini Atzeret? Just another check the box. And you're going to continue the same old life that you've been having. Isn't it time to lay that stuff aside and embrace the Lord and embrace the Holy Spirit and see what he wants to do? I want to tell you that when I forgave those people that did me great harm, whether it was at the university, whether it was in the ministry, it doesn't matter. And when I did that, I was free. And the Lord was free to deal with me. And he never forgot. So I sat in meetings where the person that ruined my career, ruined it, and he's getting an accolade, and they're all celebrating him. He made this great thing. And I'm sitting back there eating my lunch going, nah. Well, nobody sees me because I'm just eating my lunch, right? I'm not just, inside I'm going, nah, that guy. The Holy Spirit comes in, interrupts my lunch. Are you kidding me? So he interrupts my lunch. I'm going to eat. And he goes, I thought you forgave him. There's no sense in trying to eat. The conversation, no one hears it, but it's going on. Yes, Lord, I did. I called the Holy Spirit Lord. Yes, Lord, I did. Well, did you forgive him like Yeshua forgave you? Yes, Lord, I did. I tried anyway. Good. As far as the east is from the west, yeah, he perfect knows scripture really well. this Holy Spirit. And then he comes in and says, well, is he still forgiven? Yes, Lord, he's still forgiven. Good. Are you ready to invest a treasure in his lifetime? Are you ready to invest treasure in his lifetime? Novel idea. Yes, Lord, I'm ready to invest treasure in his lifetime. Good. Why don't you right now make a wonderful declaration for his future? Now, you can't do that if you still have the in there. So at that point, I say, I'm going to, Lord, but I've got to repent first. So then I direct my prayer not to the Holy Spirit, but to the Father. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. It was pointed out to me. You did it. Anyway, I didn't do that. It was pointed out to me, and truly, I had discovered that I still had some leftovers from that episode that was supposed to be clean and forgotten and everything else. I'm supposed to rejoice when my enemy has difficulty. Is that not in the Bible? I'm supposed to wish him well. Is that not in the Bible? Do you think he knows this? Do you think anybody in that department knows that? Do you think anybody in that university knows that? As surely as I'm standing here, he did that so many times. And I repented. Then I asked for the blood of Yeshua to be applied to me. I made reconciliation. I got right with the Lord. All of this is happening in two spoonfuls of lunch. And then I can do what he asked. I'm going to do it, Holy Spirit. And I would make a declaration for that person. Lord, bless him 100 times, as the Bible says, 100-fold. 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 100-fold. You know, like he really needs a blessing. That instead of a BMW, he could have a whole fleet of BMWs. And I can go ahead and drive my Ford. I didn't drive a Ford, but it was equivalent. Okay? And you hear what I'm saying? Because this is the truth. This is truth. And this, yes, people have hurt you. They hurt Yeshua, and that was no piece of cake. They hurt him bad. Bad. They really hurt him. And what was it in his mouth? If they crucified me, nobody gets saved. Because I wouldn't be saying, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. I would be saying, get them! Send the angels right now. Send lightning. Burn that guy to the ground right now. Consume him like you did Elijah. Elijah's offering. And the Holy Spirit going, that's not godly. That's not what Yeshua wants. No. I just had to have my way. I had to repent of that too. What are you doing? What are you going to do from now on? You're just going to continue to come here? And let's pray pretend. I'm telling you, maybe I need to go buy a bunch of costumes. And everybody come in and put on a costume. And might as well do what it is that we're doing on the inside. I'm not letting you get away with nothing any more than he's not going to let me get away with nothing. I'm telling you, he's interested in this congregation. And he wants a good, awesome congregation. And you can be part of that, but he's got to start with you. And I cannot force you. But if you don't, you're going to fall by the wayside. Hear what I'm saying. If you don't, you're going to fall by the wayside. You can only continue the shenanigans and the pretend and all of that just too long. And eventually he's going to come in and come calling on you. And it's time, Kol Simcha. We're turning 30 years old. Yeshua turned 30 years old and started his public ministry. We're turning 30 years old, and it's time for us to go out like the young man was saying. And win the world. How much are you going to hang on to that stuff? You don't realize that because you hang on to that stuff, you're actually not even all that friendly a person. You don't realize that because you are hanging on to that stuff, you're actually wearing the garments that are called filthy garments in Scripture. That's why you're clothing yourself with that kind of stuff. Rabbi, I thought we were going to have a happy day. Yes, we are. We're going to have a wonderful day because we're going to cleanse ourselves and we're going to do better. We're going to be better and do better as a congregation. This is the end of the beginning together, okay? Well, at the end time, it's time to let go and let God. Hear me loud. It's time to let go and let God. Add a D to it. Let go and let God. We will be a much better congregation. Sam, is that stepping on it enough? The other part of the parashat is Bereshit. We're reading only verse chapter 1:1 to 1:5, I think. It's the first day. It reminds us, Bereshit, the beginning of the Bible, reminds us that the Lord created everything and that the crowning of his creation was man, actually woman, technically. Because man and then woman, okay? And when Adam saw her, the Bible doesn't record he said anything. I think he said, wow. But I don't know. Maybe it's because, you know, I was around the pothead generation back in the 60s. Wow. I think that, you know, he saw the most beautiful woman in the world because that's the one Adonai made for him. Some of you that are recently married, like this two right here, I see you hanging on to her there. She's awesome. Isn't she awesome? Yeah, absolutely, right? I mean, she's the one for you. Okay. If you don't, we're going to take you out back. We're going to beat you with a 2x4 and so on, okay? This is mine right here. You see, we too need to see this year as an opportunity for a new creation. And the Bible records that when the Lord made the creation, he had communion with him. He spent the cool afternoon days walking with the man and talking with the man. It's time for the Lord to come back so he can talk with us, walk with us, and do everything that he needs to do with us. But he won't do it if we keep hanging on to that stuff. While I'm at it, might as well just finish crunching some toast. While I'm at it, if you have some issues, what kind of issues? I don't even want to say. For some of you, it's anger. For some of you, cigarettes. For some of you, it's the internet. Some of you is, some men especially, is pornography. For some, whatever it is, I don't care what it is. It is time. There is grace that is sufficient for you. Adonai says there's grace that is sufficient for you. You just need to make up your mind and let God be God. Let go and let God, and he can take care of that situation. Well, if he chooses to do it the instantaneous way, or he chooses to do it with prescriptions, I don't care. Have your way. do it whichever way you want to do it, but do it. If you never say it and you never ask for it, how are you going to get it? We have not because we ask not. And one of the things we don't ask the Lord to intervene. We don't ask him often enough. Well, how often did Paul prayed? How often did many other people pray? How often did Daniel pray? Oh, he just made a little prayer. And then, you know, so on. You look around at the people in the Bible that show us that when we ask the Lord, we need to stay on duty. And if it doesn't happen tomorrow, well, then tomorrow, ask him for tomorrow. Mañana. He can do it. He can do it. And we need to stop being the flesh people that we are, period. And that applies to me and to Marilyn and to my children, even to my cat. I'm telling you, we are starting anew. We're starting fresh. And because we're starting fresh, let's take him at his word. My friend, is there anything God can't do? So why aren't we asking? Oh, well, he never done it in the past. He's a layman God. Well, if you think he's a lame God, what the heck are you doing here? Pardon my English, okay? My French and whatever else. But it's time. I think that we need to have the chutzpah. If I were in Miami, I'd say a different word. We need to have it so that we can get it done. This year, 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 get it done. The Shemitah was announced. The shofar blew. Those of you that heard it, you did receive it. And now it's a matter of planting it and making it bring blossoms of forgiveness that are flowing free. I don't know. Just be quiet. As we begin again immediately, this is something we can aim for and build for as we move through this coming year. And may the Lord give you all that you ask and all that you continue to ask. May he do it. I don't think I serve a lame God. I don't think I serve a God that can't do and won't do. Let's be the first fruits of the new year. In Yeshua's name, amen. Please stand.